It is February 4th, 2015. It is 2:10 in the afternoon. Oh, I'm sorry, 1:10 in the afternoon. And this is Jen Yeager speaking with Mr. Doug Peeran of Seldovia in his apartment. And this is a recording for the In Our Own Words project of Seldovia Village Tribe. And Mr. Peeran, can you tell me a little bit about your family's history in Seldovia?
Yeah, my mom and stepdad homesteaded Kosciuszko Bay. They had three sites, and they moved down there. Before, they were up at Nikiski, and that's where their fishing sites were, where the Nikiski docks are. So they had to come down here. They had to sell that. And then probably around 1955, they started a cannery out there. And we had quite a process going. And so let's see what else. Yeah, so I came by in about 60, 1962 to see it. And after the earthquake, before the earthquake, the sun would hit the edge of the cannery on a certain date. And after the earthquake, it was two weeks delayed.
What kind of cannery was it? What were they
Well,
processing?
they did salmon, smoked salmon, clams, Dungeness crab. It was a small operation, not very big.
How many people working there?
It was just mom and Harley and grandpa and a neighbor lady doing it. Her name was Edna Moore,
Okay.
and they moved down to Texas. So, other than that, that's all they're out there. Now, you want to know. What else are you going to know?
Well, did they live right in Kitsitsinga Bay then?
Yes,
Out on the spit or?
no, Kosciuszko Bay. They had a house there. Oh, by and after the earthquake, it sank about 5 feet. So they got up one morning, and mom got up one morning, and slosh, slosh, slosh. Not that much water in the house,
Oh, really?
so they had to rebuild.
So they rebuilt in that same spot? And how many years did they do the cannery?
Well, about 55 to 19, probably 75, But then the regulations become too strict, so they couldn't do it.
What was the name of their cannery?
Ekron Packing Company, yeah.
So is that Harley Ekron?
Yes,
That was.
my stepfather, yes. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. It was fun times out there. And you know who Sarah Baxter is, right? Okay. They during the summer when her and Ray came down from Bethel, they were mom would take care of their kids all summer while they fished, so that was good. Yeah. You want to know about my grandparents or anything?
Sure.
Okay, my grandparents came to Alaska in 1934. They had to get on a boat out in Elliott Bay because they were overloaded, and so they came up above Ketchikan. The people who were running it got drunk, so they were stuck 2 weeks on that sandbar, and they come back, and then when they come to Alaska, this was the first stop for them before they went up the anchors.
Do you know if they spent any time in Seldovia?
I don't think so. I don't remember. They might have got off the boat, I imagine.
And that was your mother's parents?
Yeah, my parents, yeah.
And so your mother was born in Anchorage?
No, she was born in Seattle. She came up when 9 years old when they came up.
And how about you? Where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Palmer. I grew up some on Grandpa's place up there. And then my dad, he snuck us out of the state down to Oregon. We were there for 12 years. And then I've been back since.
Did you ever work in the cannery?
Oh yeah.
And what kind of jobs did you do there?
Basically, I run what they called the bird machine, and where they did the crab, and then they'd pack it in long johns.
What is a long john?
It was a piece about a metal about this long, and had a you just put the crab in it. Yeah.
You'd put the crab in it, and then that's what it would be packaged in?
They freeze it, and then they would. Afterwards, I don't know what they did with it afterwards, but a lot of that kind of stuff went to Japan because they liked that kind of stuff. We also had to, one time we had to pan up a bunch of guts from the crab and stuff, because they use that for seasoning. Freeze dry, use it for seasoning. So anyway.
What about the clams? What was the process with them?
Well, it would, they would take them and clean them, of course, first. Then they would put them in little cans about this big, and then they would seal it, they come out, and then it would go wherever they want. People wanted it, like Safeways used to get it, and Cars used to get it. And the Dungeness crab, of course, was the top seller, because it had little paper cups in it, and put the crab in and a little citric acid. Same way with the clams, a little citric acid. And there was, that was a big seller, and it was good. Yeah, I loved Dungeness crab. Yeah.
And so did the, you said they were had the cannery for about 20 years. Did they do all those salmon and crab and clams the whole 20 years? Or did they kind of switch from one to another?
No, it was whatever they got. It didn't matter.
Did you have to do any retooling between seasons at all?
No.
Okay, so salmon, crab, and clams could all go in the same process, same kind
of
line?
Yeah. Of course, everything had to be, you know, washed down at between things they did. And the biggest clam shell, butter clam shell I ever found was at Casista Bay.
Oh, really?
And it's in a museum in Los Angeles.
How big was it?
I don't know. It must have been huge. I didn't see it. Yeah.
Do you remember when that was found?
Probably maybe 1960. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did it end up in Los Angeles, I wonder?
Well, a couple biologists were here, and they took it down there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing, of course, that you're well known for in Soldovia is all your gardening and a lot of the public gardens. Can you talk a little bit about how you got started as a gardener?
Well, I got that from Grandma. She could plant a stick and sprout. So anyway, my park was when Carl Hilly was here years ago. My park, that was, they gave me that park and they designated it to me, you know. And so then around the harbor, too, that's, I like that around the harbor. It's beautiful in the summer. You've seen all the lilacs blooming last year, you know. You know, so that's it. Then I had, I just been at it for probably 30 years or more, you know. And I love to do it. And you have to have a love to do it. And for some reason, I got a talent. So anyway, that's
so
what.
So were you involved when the gardens first kind of started
yes.
in downtown Soldovia? You
mm-hmm.
were part of the group that
yeah.
helped plan that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they, that's, then they had some kids helping. Well, that one kid only, she had sat down the whole time, she worked about 3 feet. That's it. So Carl got real ticked off at it, and he gave it all to me to take care of.
Was he, Carl Hilly, was he city manager?
Yeah, city manager, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago.
Do you have any guesses about what year that might be?
Oh, I don't know for sure. I don't really know for sure.
And did you get to design your park then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, I designed everything over at SVT, too. So anyway, yeah, that's a really a nice thing there.
How many hours would you say you spend a summer?
Oh, if I get in, I can stay out until 10 or 11 at night. Once you get involved, you don't want to quit. Yeah.
And you do a lot of work at the post office garden, too.
Yeah, I did that, and across at the bar, I did all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as we look around the room here, we see all sorts of artifacts and so on, a lot of rocks that you've found.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about what catches your eye with certain rocks?
Well, I learned it about a couple of years ago. Remember Kelly?
No, I don't.
Yeah, he showed me what to look for. And so then I go out there and I usually find 3 or 4 pieces at a time. Yeah.
And can you share a little bit with us about what it is that you are looking for?
No, I don't really know what I'm looking for. It just catches my eye. Yeah.
And you found a number of artifacts from, I think, in the slough, haven't you?
Yeah.
Not just rocks, but other other items as well.
Yeah, this came from the slough. That's a boat shaft.
A boat shaft?
Yeah, and that one I found under the boardwalk.
And that looks like part of a propeller?
Yeah, it is a propeller. They had a certain boat that had those on them after the war, and they'd go up and down, I don't know.
Okay, it looks like it's brass.
It is solid brass, yeah. I love brass. Brass is my thing.
Have you ever found any parts from some of the other buildings around the slough, like the sawmill or anything like that?
Well, let's see now. Where did I put that? Oh, that piece of wood under that rock, that I found down by Walt Sonnen's.
And just for the recording's purpose, Walt Sonnen lives down kind of at the entrance to the slough.
Yes.
Over the water.
Yeah, right.
And his house.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a circular piece of wood. It almost looks like a little bit like a pulley.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't think it is.
No.
And it's got a brass plate.
Yeah.
It's like screwed to one side.
Yeah.
And is there a similar one on the other side?
No, just on the one side, but it's made by the Boston Motor Works, I think is the name of it. It's way old, you know, it's like 20th century. So. And that one up there, mm-hmm. with a rope on it, I found that in the boat harbor.
Oh,
about
really?
20 years ago.
Okay, that looks like some rigging.
Yeah, some rigging.
Yeah, yeah, so maybe from a boat that had sails, or at least had a lot of rope on it.
Right.
And you said you found that in the boat harbor?
Yes.
At low tide?
Yeah, low tide. And you go down there, I haven't been down there lately. Should go down there and track and see what else has showed up. But I like to get old. I like old wood.
Well, you certainly got quite a collection here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Having fun doing it.
Yeah. I know you collected outside beach a fair bit also.
That's where I get
all the rocks?
All the rocks.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your parents and what they were like?
Okay, my dad met my mom up in Wasoa when he was in the Army. And then I guess that's where he married her, up there. And she had me and my brother. And then after that, my dad took us down to Oregon. And we were down there for 12 years, yeah. But Grandma and Grandpa, they homesteaded up there in 1934. And in them days, it was tough.
Was that part of the colony?
No, they came here before the colony. Yeah. So in them days, if you didn't prepare for the winter, you won't have anything.
Anchorage was still a pretty small town then.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I do know my mom and dad came down to Homer when they first punched the road through.
That would have been about 1951 or so?
I suppose, somewhere in there.
And then how did your mom and stepdad come to choose Seldovia?
Well, I wasn't around when they happened, but I'm glad they did. Because I have to be on the water, and I have to see mountains. Otherwise, I'm not much good for anything. Yeah.
And your stepdad, Harley Eckren, where was he from originally, do you know?
They were from North Dakota, with his grand and his dad. They come from North Dakota. Then they come up to Anchorage, and they were housemen in the bars, you know, dealing the cards out. And old Lusak, they used to play cards with him.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Carl Lusak? I can't remember his first name.
I don't remember, but he's Lusak up in Anchorage. You know.
Who the library is named after.
Yeah, they played the cards with him. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then how did he end up meeting your mom, and how did they end up in Nikiski?
My mom, after she kind of went, well, I'm not going to say wild, but she did with the, so that's how they met her. Yeah, you probably met her for 9 years. I don't know the whole situation behind that.
And you said they had several sites there. Were they set netters?
Fishing
sites?
Yeah, at Nikiski, and then I guess they sold the place or whatever. They had to, like, the Nikiski docks went in where they were there. I think they bought the sites at Kasista Bay in 1950, I believe. That's when they did that.
So they fished for a few years before they had the cannery?
Yeah, up at Nikiski. And then when they come back down, when they finally moved down permanently to Kasista Bay, then they opened up the cannery and did the fishing.
They did that right away?
Yeah.
Did they build the cannery then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and after the earthquake, we had to raise it 5 feet.
I bet that was quite a project.
Yeah, I had jacks, about six jacks. I had to raise it up just a little bit at a time to keep it,
And then I'm assuming it was on piling.
Yes.
And so they set new piling underneath?
I think they did, yeah.
And you were up in Anchorage during the earthquake, though, right?
Yeah, I was at Fort Ridge.
Okay. Were you in the service?
Yeah, just for a little bit, yeah. And anyway, I was coming up from Fort Lewis, and this guy sat down beside me, and I said, now, you know, he said, we usually have an earthquake a month or so, and then he was seen the next day when he seen me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. I remember that year very well.
What was the earthquake like for you in Anchorage?
Well, it was unbelievable. We got out of that building about 5 seconds flat or so, you know. Then there was food on the walls, food on the ceiling, everything, yeah.
So you were in the dining hall?
Yeah,
the mess hall.
At the time, yeah. Yeah. And that's when we were outside and they had a church there with a bell and it went up and down and bang, off the ground. Yeah.
The bell did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the buildings at the time were cement block, you know, and so you could go all the way to the top floor and like this and you could see the basement because they had pulled away.
And so you came to, you said, to Seldovia for the first time in about 1962.
Yeah.
And I assume you were mostly out at Kosciuszko Bay?
No, I didn't really. I was come down to Kosciuszko Bay about 1970. I was up in Anchorage working up there.
But you said you came down to
Yeah, the to first time. There. Yeah.
And so did you get into Seldovia itself as well?
Well, we had to come by boat because there was no road until 68 when the Japanese put the road in for the logging.
So you came from Homer by boat?
No, from Kosciuszko Bay by boat.
Over to Seldovia.
Yeah, that's how you had to get here. Yeah. They did have a trail, I guess, but it'd be a long walk.
And then you moved back to Seldovia in what year?
72, and have been here since. So.
When you saw it in 1972, what impression did it make on you, considering how different it had been when you saw it in 1962?
It made a bad impression on a lot of people. And you know that, where they got all the fill from, right?
From Caps Hill?
Yeah, they blew it down, yeah.
Do you remember if you were surprised by how it looked, or did you kind of know ahead of time? Had you heard about it?
Yeah, I heard about it. Yeah, it's too bad it had to happen, but no choice in the matter.
But you decided to stay anyway.
Yeah.
What was it that kept you here?
I don't know. I just liked the beauty of the place, you know. And so we worked some long hours in that cannery, 16 to 17 hours a day.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was horrible.
What was the busiest season, would you say?
I'd say the king crab was the busiest season.
And what time of year was that?
That was in, I think it started in October, I believe. Yeah. And went till about May. Yeah. Of course, they did a lot of crab. No wonder we don't have any anymore. They fished it all out. But they'll never admit that.
So could the good-sized boats come right up to the cannery, or did you have to use small?
Well, there was a dock, you know. Yeah.
Did your family have to build the dock, too?
No.
It was there before?
Oh, what dock were you talking?
At the cannery.
Oh, at the cannery?
Or you worked at the cannery in town here.
That's what I was telling.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
Whitney, I think it changed names so many times. Mm. It's hard to remember what the name was. But they had big life tanks for all the crab in. And then, oh, God, the fishermen were running around with $10,000, $20,000 in their pocket. And now we have nothing. And the town's going downhill fast. Yeah. I get charged all these people think they're going to save it. They haven't saved it yet.
Yeah. What was your job at the cannery?
I used to work on what they call the machine there. What? I can't remember the name of the damn machine. Bird machine.
Bird?
Machine, yeah.
As in bird-like wings, B-I-R-D?
Yeah, imagine.
Okay.
But anyway, they all the crab that, you know, they didn't use anymore, it'd come into that, and we'd spin it with salt in it. Then they'd pull it up in the long drum pans. Yeah.
And so how many years did you work there?
Well, we worked there until it finally closed, yeah.
And what year was that?
Oh, I think it was about 62, 63, somewhere. Mm-hmm. No, I mean 1963. About 10 years ago.
So that was the Wakefield plant? Yeah. At one point?
At one point, there's so many of them that I don't remember all the names of them.
Well, you said it's mostly the busy season through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the summertime, you'd be doing all your gardening.
Yeah, right.
And probably still working at the cannery.
Yeah.
Right? Who were some of the people that worked with you in developing the gardens when that program started?
Diane Crawford,
Darlene?
Darlene. She was in charge for a while there. Yeah. And I'd help, and so forth and so on. Yeah.
So she actually did some of the gardening as well?
Yeah, I think she did, yeah.
And I think, wasn't there a grant that was...
Oh, yeah, there was a grant.
...to help fund some of that?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a grant. Then a few... some years before I turned 62, there was a lot of... I did a lot of things, and I got it. They paid me, for doing it. Yeah. And this one time, they were in the city council, and they said... And Susan Springer stood up and says, whatever he makes for the summer, we'll match it.
Oh, really?
They weren't very happy about that. Yeah, I think I made about $2,800, so we had to match it.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't go over well. Yeah, I remember that. And they put out the thing for the best garden in town. Of course, I won $100, so they haven't had it since.
Oh, really? I would think the trouble, if it's best garden or best gardener?
The best garden.
Okay, because you have several gardens.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Which one would you choose?
Oh, no, it might have been the best gardener because there's so many parks around. Yeah, so anyway, by the flagpole down there. Yeah. Yeah, so they didn't do it since.
So you were here when the road went in out to Jackaloff.
Yeah, I was here during that section.
How did that change things in town?
Well, they had so many people, they had to do it. They had 300 people out there in that little trailer court they had out there. That was just family, Yeah.
And where was that trailer court?
You go out, where the old mill is at Jackaloff?
Yes.
Okay. You go further and you go up this kind of a hill and it was off to the left. You can see some roads going down in there.
And so that was mostly the people that were working at the logging?
Yeah.
They just brought in a bunch of trailers for them to work?
Yeah.
For the workers to live?
Right, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Were there families out there too?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, they had families, kids, and mm-hmm. whole 9 yards. They had to have a school bus go out there every day to bring the kids into the school.
When you first moved back here in the 1970s, how many vehicles would you say were in town?
Well, I don't think there was as much there as now, but we lost a lot of population. There's about 800 people then, So when there's no economy, things go to pot.
As that longer road went in, did you see more people acquiring vehicles or?
I can't really remember.
Didn't maybe make much difference?
No, I don't remember.
Because that was kind of the first time that there was much distance to drive, wasn't it, when that road went?
Yeah, before that there wasn't any place to drive. Yeah.
Anything else that strikes your imagination with Seldovia? Any strong impressions you have or people that you remember?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, thank you for talking with me today. I sure appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.